What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Olin Krutz there at the center. I like this guy. You know that he's going to be doing something.
Olin Krutz.
As far as I'm concerned, Olin's one of the best centers to ever play a game. There's nobody tougher. Nobody who was a better leader. That was his football team, and he ran the locker room.
14-year NFL veteran.
Did you see what Olin Krutz did there? He moved it right there. He got the first down before the ball was ever snapped. That's a wily old center makes moves like that.
Football analyst for 670 The Score.
I mean, guys, this game for the state of Illinois, for the city of Chicago, for old Bears, Pat, like me and you, right, yeah. Who have to wear glasses to even see our screen nowadays. You know, but first playoff win since we were on the field. And we don't have to say that anymore.
Olin Krutz with Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.
Olin Krutz joining us now. We're happy to have him on the Midday Show. It's the playoffs. We get Olin for a bonus visit. He joins us via the Circa Resort and Casino Outline. CircaLasVegas.com. Olin, part of our pre- and post-game coverage, our Score football analyst, and we are happy to have him. Olin, I laughed and said, I'm not sure at what point during the week that the playoff win finally set in. When for you do you feel like it finally set in that they won that game?
That they beat the Green Bay Packers, especially the way they beat them, right? Where you're watching the whole game and you're saying there's no way they come back and win. But of course, man, I mean, you've watched this team all year and you're thinking, I had people texting me from all over the place. And one guy was like, this game's over. I knew they weren't going to win. I said, you might want to wait. You might want to take your time with this football team because they never stop playing. They never stop competing. And look, man, I've been enjoying it as much as everyone else, them beating the Green Bay Packers. And it's nice to go into like Starbucks and places and, you know, say the supermarket and someone's wearing a Green Bay jersey and we're finally one up on them.
I know. I feel like even in your interviews and your appearances on our show this week and last week, I feel like that with a couple of the other players we've had on, like you guys are like amped up. Like playoffs is another gear, even for analysts. I feel like I wanted to hit somebody after I heard you guys talk the other day.
Yeah, it's exciting. And it's the Green Bay Packers and you're looking to beat them, and it's exciting for the city. And you know, I've been analyzing for a while now. And we don't get to analyze a lot of playoff games, right? And we talked about, you know, the last time they won a playoff game is when we beat the Seahawks in 2010. I'm tired of talking about that win. And it's good for the Chicago Bears to be relevant again. It's good for the Chicago Bears to be in the playoffs. It's good to have a team to talk about winning, not talk about, okay, what are they doing wrong? What are they doing wrong up there at Halas Hall? And how do we find a new coach? And how do we get the offense to put the ball in the damn end zone? Now we have a quarterback who competes, puts the ball in the end zone, scores points, finds a way to beat football teams. It's been a fun year.
It's not just good, but it's great to simply have another game to play when everybody else is sitting at home. Olin, looking ahead to this Rams game, I am fascinated by the possibilities just because of what has already transpired this season. And it feels like this might lean more towards what we saw against the 49ers, two offenses getting busy, because I've been watching the Rams defense, and while they're good up front, I feel like there's some tendencies for them to get blown up down the field.
Yeah, in the secondary, right? The first thing you do when you turn that film on is you say, hey, people are scoring points on them in the last six games. People are attacking that secondary and finding ways to move the ball down the field and score touchdowns. And look, man, Chicago Bears, now you talk about, you turn on film on Monday mornings for a guy like me, and you say, who do you want to watch? Well, I say Ben Johnson and Sean McVay. That's who I want to watch. That's the film I want to study. I want to watch the way those guys attack defenses, the way they use three tight ends, both of them, to create mismatches. Now, they both were tight end coaches, which is interesting to me, right? They both, Sean McVay for the Redskins, and, well, I'm sorry, the Commanders, and Ben Johnson for the Miami Dolphins. So they both came up the same way. And to me, that was interesting. I said, oh, man, I wonder if that really did help them understand the run game and the pass game and how to tie that together. But you're going to have to score points. With our defense versus this offense, when you look at the matchup, we know, you know, Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, the tight ends they bring. Sean McVay will find a way to put the ball in the end zone. Ben Johnson has to find a way to attack Shula and his defense. I tell everybody, I said, the Rams are fine to me. You look at their coaching staff, it looks like they're Theta Chi, their fraternity house with their nice hair, and it looks like they got all young guys. But, man, you turn their film on, and they know how to coach, right? I mean, they get after people. This team and Sean McVay and Ben Johnson, they're the two guys, when I watch their film and I press pause and I say to myself, well, the defense is going to say cover three here, and they're in a four-man front. This is the play I would call. Well, they're calling those plays, right? Ben Johnson and Sean McVay. That's how good they are at their job. This is going to be an absolute joy to watch these two guys go against each other to compete. And imagine we're saying that here in Chicago, right? We're saying that for the Chicago Bears, that their offense is going to be fun to watch them on film attacking somebody else's defense and trying to put the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. And I can hear the motivation even in your speech, Olin, when you're talking to us about being excited to watch this game from a loving ball standpoint. A couple things stood out to me that Ben Johnson said today in the press conference that I want to run by you. Number one, he talked about, and I think you know, watching ball, you can see that a lot of Ben Johnson concepts are built on the similar thought process, you know, thought platform, like formation building, and then what you build off of that formation to what Sean McVay does. So it was very interesting to me when I heard Ben Johnson say today, a lot of what we did for Jared Goff coming off the trade where they sent Matt Stafford to LA, a lot of what we did for Jared Goff came out of the original McVay playbook for him. And so you can tell that that was innately a foundation for Ben Johnson's offensive success with the Lions. He also complimented Matt Stafford's ability to manipulate defenses, which is, I think, a goal of his for Caleb Williams. You know, when you hear those two things, what comes to mind for you?
Exactly what you're talking about. What comes to mind right away is the fact that this Ben Johnson, when he talks about, he's taking from a lot of people, a lot of trees to develop the offense that he does have. And we talk about 13 personnel and the three tight end sets and the way Ben Johnson likes to use it. You're going to see it a lot from the Rams this week coming up at Soldier Field. You're going to see them use the same thing, try to create the same kind of mismatches. When he talks about Matthew Stafford, the way he manipulates the defense with his eyes, reading the safeties, moving them over, moving linebackers, really realizing before the snap what defense they're going to be in, what play to put the offense in. That's where Caleb wants to get. That's where he wants Caleb to get to. And Caleb did some of that this past week, guys. I really thought, man, when I watched that game all the way through again, I thought that was one of his better football games. I thought that, you know, you talk about the first third down, third and three, he goes through his whole progression and finds Luther Burden in the middle of the field, right? He's moving linebackers and opening up the middle of the field. And just like throughout the game, it was one of the first times I thought, man, he's carrying the offensive line. He's carrying the run game here. He's being the multiplier. And Layla, when you talk about what does he talk about mean by Matt Stafford manipulating the defense, that's what he means. That Matthew Stafford's ahead of defense. He's ahead of the safety. He's ahead of the defensive coordinator. He knows what he wants to call in certain situations, in certain down and distances, out of certain personnel, who's on the field, who's the blitzer, who's the guy they got to worry about, who they should attack. And that's where the Chicago Bears offense looks like they're kind of getting to. You know, I wish they wouldn't wait to the fourth quarter to get to it, but they are finding ways to do those things. And it's very similar, these two offenses that you're about to watch here at Soldier Field this Sunday.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Monday. We're all aligned in that way, Olin, that we're tired of seeing the procrastination offense, as Layla puts it. So that's something that we can all agree
kids,
on.
Kids, man.
I was a little bit concerned about something Ben Johnson talked about today, where he talked about the offense and how hard it is to run on that talented front that you're talking about when you talk about the Los Angeles Rams. I think we all have accepted that even though we want the Bears' identity to be the team that we saw play on Black Friday in Philadelphia with the 281 rushing yards, that's not what has happened since then. And now I'm concerned that the fast starts that we wish they would get off to is very much tied to the fact that they have not been able to run the football as efficiently or as effectively.
Yeah, Marshall, I mean, I think you're not the only one, man. You're not the only one concerned when you turn that film on and you watch the Chicago Bears run game right now and you go through Brian Young, Braden Fisk, Puna Ford, Kobe Turner, and Jared Verse, and they got a tough matchup on their plate. But listen, you get to the playoff, man, it's time to slay giants. That's what we do in the playoffs. You're not going to hide from the best teams. You're not going to hide from the best players. That's why they're in the playoffs. The best teams are finally here. Welcome to the fight, right? Welcome to the tournament, man. Like, no one who's playing bad football is here. So here we go, and how do we run the football? And to be honest with you, you remember coming out of the bye week, they said they simplified the run game but put more looks in, more motions, more formations, more. They confused the defense. But on their end, it was simple. They knew what they were doing. I personally think they've been running too many concepts lately, too many run plays. The offensive line is not getting a lot of looks, and repeatable looks. When I played offensive line, I wanted 1, 2, 3 turns at a run play so I knew how the linebacker and how the nose guard was going to play it. And that's what, like, the Green Bay, they were what I like to call triggering fast. And by that, I mean, as soon as the linebacker saw a run, he was shooting downhill right away. The Chicago Bears offensive line, they like to combo block. By that, I mean, they like to work together, get movement on the D-line, work up to the linebacker. Well, when the guy's triggering, you got to get off the block now. You cannot double team a guy for too long. Chicago Bears have been living on the Dolman, Jonah Jackson, Darnell Wright, Jonah Jackson double team. A lot of movement. Put the D lineman in the linebacker's lap. I kind of know Dan Roshar. I know his style. I know he's from, but I would say Dan Roshar for the listener. I'm talking about the Chicago Bears offensive line coach. I know what he coaches, and he coaches to move the D lineman off the ball. But when the linebackers are hitting it, you got to come off sooner. And I just don't think the Chicago Bears offensive line is getting that chance on the sideline to talk about it. Okay, look, this is what they're doing. We got to do this a little quicker. They're just running. They're not running the plays enough. I think they need to bring it down, but not the formations, not the motions. Just we're going to run these 2 or 3 concepts. This is what we're going to run, but we're going to run it really well. And I think that might help them get back on track.
Yeah, and you make a great point because you know that there's enough veterans and really heady guys on that line too to study tendencies enough to know to expect certain movements out of certain individuals. That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. I also want to ask you this. We don't have supreme confirmation yet of who's playing at left tackle on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I assume it's going to be Theo Benedet because he had the experience this season. Braxton Jones ruled out for the game on Saturday night, but I assume he will be available because of the loss of Ozzie Trapillo. How are you absorbing all that information? What do you expect to have happen here, Olin?
I mean, as everyone knows on the score, for me, the fact that they've gotten this far without a left tackle is just insane to me, right? But their tight end, Colson Loveland, he's proven the point why Ben Johnson took him early on. And I think the Clay Harbor you guys have on a lot, he was on that train early on before the draft talking about this guy. And I thought Clay was nuts, right? Like, take a left tackle, man, right? Take a guy who can protect your quarterback or a guy who can rush your passer. So you'll probably go with Theo Benedet like you're talking about. He hasn't been playing great in pass pro, so they're going to have to give him help like they've been giving him help all year. Braxton Jones, we haven't seen him in a while. Hopefully he's feeling good. Hopefully he's healthy. He's up all of a sudden. Hopefully Ozzie Trapillo, man, we know I played with Mark Colombo, who had a patella problem injury too back in 2000, I think it was. And those are hard to get over, so I wish him the best that he gets back fast. But as you're talking about, Layla, that is a position you worry about, especially when you have two Pro Bowlers on the edge. Jared Verse, Brian Young, absolute animals, man. I watched their pass rush. I watched them work. I watched them stutter. I watched them bull rush. I watched them work the edge. I mean, these guys, man, they keep you up at night if you're an offensive lineman. This kind of defensive line, you guys just probably all watched what the Houston Texans did, right, versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. That defense line absolutely took over the game, right? Those kind of guys are tough, and this is why you're here. But I'm sure Ben Johnson has a plan. But Theo, like you're talking about, Marshall mentioned, let's run the football. Let's not give those guys a chance to get after our quarterback. And we have to be very wary of leaving Theo out there one-on-one on see third or 6 or 7 or more.
Yeah, absolutely, Olin. Jared Verse is, he lives rent-free in my mind. This has been a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us and putting in some extra time on the midday show ahead of the playoff game. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Olin.
I appreciate it, guys, man. Have a good day.
You too, you Olin. Too? Before Chicago takes on LA, tune in Sunday from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. for the playoff pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin, Patrick Manley, and Mully get you set for that all-important divisional round matchup. Then immediately after the game, they'll have instant reaction on the TimberTech Decking and Railing postgame show. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. Olin has always taken us to school. Like the looks thing about the looks comment that he made about the run game, that's going to live in my head now.
It also makes me double back to that Detroit game about keeping things simple and gives kind of maybe more insight into what Ben Johnson had dialed up compared to previous games and even maybe to last week's game.
And also what he talked about when you're reading tendencies and you're discussing what you're seeing, those are in-game adjustments. So we're just going to school over here at 670 The Score. Coming up next, Mike Tomlin may not be coaching anymore, but that doesn't mean his words aren't living on. Let's hear some Mike Tomlinisms next.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.